Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Dillard, and this is the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation out in the 12th Hour in Elgin, Texas. Today is December the 23rd, 2023. It is Tibet 11, 2027. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, I Come to the Garden Alone. I come to the garden alone, the king is still on the road there, and the voice I hear calling on my ear, the song of Yah is chosen. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the journey said as we tarry there, not a has ever known. He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds have to sing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. The journey said that he carried, none of it has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, the night around me be falling. He bids me go to the voice of woe, his voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we carry back, none of it has ever known. Volume 1 of the Tommy Greetings, number 41, by Vicki Harlefer, May the 17th, 1947, he gave this message. We shall study the 61st chapter of Isaiah, beginning with verse 1. Isaiah 6, verse 2. For the Spirit of the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, is upon me, because the Yahshua hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty unto the captives, and the opening of the prison unto them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Yahweh, and the day of the vengeance of our Yahweh, to comfort all that mourn. These are the two verses that the Yashir had read as he stood up in the synagogue of the city of Nazareth, in the place where he was brought up. For he read these verses and then sat down without making any comment, as his listeners were still in a stupor as to why he had read and then had sat down without adding a word. Yahshua arose again and said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." For the reason given for the Spirit's power upon him is that Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, had appointed him to preach. This is for the reason given for the Spirit's power upon him is that Yahweh the Father had anointed him to preach the good tidings unto the meek, implying that if the Yahweh had not anointed him to preach, the Spirit of the Yahweh would not have been on him. Moreover, he was anointed for the preaching unto the meek, unto those who are not self-sufficient, not high-minded, but humble and teachable. The other class could not be taught. He was to comfort all that mourn, to bind up the broken-hearted, for the proclaiming of the liberty unto the captives, not for the freeing them immediately. For the acceptable year of the Yahshua is at the time and which the scripture is fulfilled. For the time it is unsealed and proclaimed, those who give no heed unto it are to be swept away in the day of the vengeance, so that prophecy is to be fulfilled right here in our day in the 12th parabolic hour. These were the good tidings for which Yahshua was anointed. Unbelief and indifference in the revealed truth is an insult unto the Father and a sin against the Holy Spirit, who leads into all of the truth. Simply because the Savior preached these two verses, however, we must not conclude that the whole chapter was then fulfilled, or that the fulfillment of these two verses could not again be fulfilled at the time that the rest of the chapter is fulfilled. As the same Spirit was also upon the apostles, upon those who furthered the Yahweh's message in that day, so also it must be in this day, and the day that the whole chapter is fulfilled. For the duty of those who proclaim this chapter's message is found in Isaiah 61:3. For the appoint unto them that mourn in Mount Zion at the 12th hour, in the 12th parabolic hour, to give unto them a beauty for the ashes, the oil of joy for the morning, the garment of praise for the spirit of the heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, as the planting of the Yahshua, that he might be glorified. For the burden of the Spirit is for the improving upon the spiritual condition of those who mourn in Mount Zion at the 12th hour, and he wrote this in the 10th parable of Jonah, and he was referring to the design of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But now we bring this up to present tense, and this Mount Zion now in the house of David, to give unto them beauty for ashes, for repentance and humbleness, all of the joy for the morning, present truth that hopefully lightens the rest of the way, and garments that character of the praise, so that they be as living ornaments of righteousness, a new creation of the Yahweh, that he be glorified. Here is sin, that the original creation of the Yahweh that had been lost through sin is to be restored. Okay. So I just mentioned this before the sermon, that we're going to have the kingdom of heaven restored right here in this 12th parabolic hour, even before probation period. Now is the acceptable day to open your heart, to take in the present truth, to recreate and restore that which was lost through a sin. Isaiah 61:4. And they shall build the old ways, they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Okay. Those who are made glad and beautiful, who are clothed with the praise, and who become trees of the righteousness, as the planting of the Yeshua, his triumphant servants, as the godless Ezra and Nehemiah of today, are to restore all things. Isaiah 61:5. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. For the stranger and aliens here mentioned are not the strangers and aliens. For the kingdom of Yahweh, in the kingdom of Yahweh. Let's do it again. For the strangers and the aliens here mentioned are not the strangers and aliens in the kingdom of Yahweh, they're not for the kingdom of Yahweh, but for the nations, not a blood relation to Judah or Israel, not of the stock of Jacob, not of the 144,000 who first stand on the Mount Zion in the 12th parabolic hour, but with them. Isaiah 61:6, that she shall be named the priest of the Yahshua. Men shall call you the ministers of all Yahweh. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourself. In the fourth coming, a typical kingdom of the Judah. Now, Vicki Hollis was in the 10th parabolic hour in 1947, 76 years ago. He wrote this, and he said, in the fourth coming, a typical kingdom of the Judah. And Vicki Hollis did not have the kingdom of the Judah. He was in the 10th parabolic hour, which was called Mount Zion at the 10th hour, the SDA Church. And his name for his people was called Davidian Seventh-day Adventist. So he was not this Judah, even though he was of the, no doubt, the tribe of Judah. Because he come on the scene in 1930, Vicki Hollis did, with the Shepherd's Rod message, Micah 6:9, hear ye the rod and who hath appointed it. After the 40-year period ended from 1890 to 1930 of Judah, where Ezekiel laid on his right side for 40 years, a day for a year, he laid on his right side for Judah, and he fasted for 40 days. He could then take no food at all. And he fasted and purified the tribe of Judah. Vitihalef was of the tribe of Judah, no doubt. But this antitypical kingdom of Judah, Vitihalef didn't set up the antitypical kingdom of Judah. Believe it or not, Willis Johnson set up the antitypical kingdom of Judah. But he had the antitypical part of the antitypical Esau. That was the Esau and Jacob period. And their Hebrew father was Isaac. 1970 they were born. And I was a part of it. And so, this antitypical kingdom of Judah, though, was not anointed until 2003, when we had our final separation from Gilead Center, Kermit, Texas, the third feeding pastor for the Seventh-day Adventist, when all of those that was the leaders and members of the Gilead Center were cut off, and Yahweh appointed, Yahshua was here, and he appointed the antitypical kingdom of Judah, which was the kingdom of David. Okay? And because he said there in the prophecy of Genesis 49:10, he said, a scepter shall not depart from Judah. That means somebody with the authority to teach the government of Yahweh. Nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh comes. And Shiloh is another name for Yahshua the Son. Well, Shiloh came at the Passover 2002 and took a whole year, Yahshua took a whole year to make the change of the guard from Gilead Center to the Mount Zion at the 12th hour. And Shiloh did come. Now we're in our 20th year now of being evacuated out of the kingdom there in Kermit, Texas, 2003. We're 2023. This coming Passover of 2024 will close out a 20-year period for the antitype of Jacob having to flee out of his father's house, going into the land of Mesopotamia. He had to go to his kinsman's house, his uncle, Laban, which was an idol worshiper, and he had to spend 20 years there with this crooked, lying Laban. Laban believed in the religion of Abraham. Laban had the Hebrew father. And Laban was a Hebrew, but he was born of another nation. And that was a nation that serves idolatry and won't give it up. That's the reason why Abraham had to be separated out of their household. That's the reason why Abraham was told to get out of Ur of the Chaldees, get out of your father's house. Get out of here. Get into the land that I show you. He didn't tell Laban to do that to go with Abraham. Laban was of that same household. He told him to stay where you're at. You're an idol worshiper, and that's all you're ever going to be, so just stay where you're at. So Jacob was born and down there in Palestine, which is today called Israel, and then he ended up living and dying down in Egypt. That's another story. Okay, so we're the antitypical kingdom of Judah that has been officially set up since 2003. So, which he called the fourth coming, he said, antitypical kingdom of the Judah. And I like that word antitypical. I like type and antitype. Therefore, there shall be two groups of people, ministers and laity. Okay. So the Esauites are your ministers. 1970, Brother Johnson was the number one call to set up Gilead Center. Now he set up at the Creation Counter. He was the minister of the Candlestick of Laodicea Adventist Church. And the laity was his spiritual twin brother Jacob, and that was Elijah David. That's who I am. I represented the laity. Because Brother Johnson stood in the pulpit and did the preaching, and I sat out in the pews. The laity sits in the pews and listens to the preacher from the pulpit. Brother Johnson occupied the pulpit, and I occupied the pew. So that made me the symbol of the laity. So for 33 years, we had the ministers and the laity, two classes of people that was working at Gilead Center. From these scriptures, we see that the everlasting kingdom of the Yahweh with the church is purified, free from the terrors. Let's do that again. For these scriptures that we see represents that of the kingdom of the Yahshua as the purified church free from the terrors is a real thing. It is not something imaginary, not something foamy, floating and lost in space, but right here on the earth. So here we have it. The terrors then are the ones that have infiltrated the church. And they're not that born again. They don't care anything about your religion. All they care about is getting into your church and destroying your religion. Isaiah 61:7. For your shame, you shall have double. And for the confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess the double, everlasting joy shall be upon them. These ministers of the Yahweh are to have double because of the shame which they have endured. All such rejoice in their portion. Are you disposed for the suffering? For the Yahshua's sake, are you unlike those who seek joy and friendship from the world and who sooner or later are to find themselves in their great disappointment? Believe that is all. Isaiah 61:8. For I, the Yahshua, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in the truth and will make an everlasting covenant with them. So now he made an everlasting covenant with Abraham. Genesis 17. He made an everlasting covenant with Noah. He put that token of the rainbow in the cloud to confirm that. He made an everlasting covenant with Israel. Jacob. And Israel, the purified section of Jacob. He's made it. Now he comes down to his last days here in the 12th parabolic hour, and he puts the antitypical kingdom of David in operation. Yeshua comes and does that in person. And he makes an everlasting covenant now with this kingdom. So that everlasting covenant wasn't just the one covenant made back there in the beginning with Adam and Eve when they came out of the garden. If they would continue to be sanctified by the blood system, they would have this everlasting covenant that would be with them. But he renews his covenant whenever he has a renewal of a movement or of a house of Israel. He renews that covenant with his new leaders. Every new leader. He renewed that covenant with Moses coming out of Egypt. He renewed it with Yeshua, his son, at the cross. He renewed it with William Miller, 1833. He renewed it with Ellen G. White, 1844. Renewed it and then with V.T. Hollis. And believe it or not, he renewed it with Willis W. Johnson, 1970. Judgment and justice is Yahweh's motto for all his creatures. For the statement, "I hate robbery for the burnt offering," implies that such upcoming things are now practiced among his people. In this connection, some years ago I heard a certain member of the church say that in some kind of gambling she had won a little money, and as his conscience hurt him to keep it, or he had won a little money, he gave it as an offering to the church. Also, I have heard several say that they work on the Sabbath, but that they turn the Sabbath earnings over to the church. These incidents may serve as samples of how foolish, how uneducated in the things of Yahweh are the people of Yahweh. By bringing such offerings unto him, they are only making Yahweh a gambler and a Sabbath breaker. And at the same time, they imagine that they are doing him a great favor. Yahweh's promise unto his people is, "I will direct their work in the truth." Are we then to question his ability for the performing and at the same time expecting him to give us a home in his everlasting kingdom of heaven when he comes down here to earth with his son to set it up? Isaiah 61:9, "And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed that the Yeshua hath blessed." What a blessed hope, what a power to save both the young and the old, and to make their names known worldwide for such a fame as this people would go through almost any torture known to mankind. Yahweh, though, is only asking you to believe and to comply with his word. Yes, that is all. Christianity is to become a real thing, so real that the Gentiles will acknowledge that such Christian can only be the planning of the Yeshua, and that only the power of the Father Yahweh can bring such a change in the human heart and cause his saints to say, Isaiah 61:10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Yeshua, for my soul shall be joyful in my Yahweh the Father, For he hath clothed me with the garments of the salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of the righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh herself with the ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. This chapter of the Isaiah, the prophet, is indeed to bring revival and reformation, such as has never taken place since the beginning of sin 6,000 years ago. Now folks, what a privilege to have. Can you imagine that we have finally arrived at that time where we are reading about this here Isaiah's projection, his prophecy, and he says is to bring a revival and a reformation to this antitypical king, everlasting kingdom of David. Here in the 12th hour is to bring a revival and a reformation such as never taken place since the beginning of sin. For the Yahweh forbid that any one of us should miss the experience and the blessing that comes through this revival and reformation. Isaiah 61:11. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Yahweh, the Father, will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. So this is what our message that we have today will cause to happen. This purified message is going to spring forth before all the nations. And we've got it working in Africa. We've had it working in Africa for over 30 years. We've been supporting that situation there through the seed of the truth in the heart. This experience will come unto the Yahweh's people as naturally as does the earth cause the seed sown in it to bud and bring forth fruit. This is indeed the righteousness of the Yahshua, not the might of men. Summing up this study, we learn that the fruits of the Anointed One are these, that the Yahshua was anointed for the preaching of the good news that he was to open the prison door of sin, to bind up the wounds of Yahweh's people, for the proclaiming of the acceptable year of the Yahshua, for the comforting of those who mourn, and for the giving all an opportunity for the escaping the day of the vengeance, that because he was thus anointed, he was fitted for the comforting them that mourn in Zion, to bring beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the gift of praise in the place of the heavenly, that they might be called trees of the righteousness, and that Yahweh might thereby be glorified, that through the gift of the Spirit, his people shall be enabled to build up the desolated places of the many generations, that those who are called now are to be the ministers of the Yahweh. Well, that's the fifth group of people. That's Matthew 20, verse 6. This is that last group that has the last movement, which is the house of David. That's who we are called at the end of the 11th hour, Matthew 20, verse 6. And they shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. The Gentiles are going to bring all their wealth, and they're going to do our building for us. They're going to do our planting of our gardens and our fields. They're going to do all the manual labor, and glory in them. And strangers and aliens shall be their shepherds and vine dressers. Okay? So they're going to be shepherds, because they're going to be herding sheep. They're going to be having flocks of sheep, just like the old time. Vine dressing. That then their shame and confusion will be changed into everlasting joy. That as Yahweh hates robbery, he will direct the work in the present truth and make an everlasting covenant. There it is right there. He's going to make an everlasting covenant with them that know him. See? This is the first time that covenant has made with these new converts that know him here in the 12th hour. He's going to make an everlasting covenant with them. Their seed shall be known unto the Gentiles and among the people, and they will acknowledge that the Yahweh has blessed his people, that because of the anointed for one's clothes, his people with the garment of the salvation and the robe of the righteousness, by the testimony of his children, will be, I will greatly rejoice in the Yeshua, and as a bride adorn herself with her jewels, so the spiritual adornments given through these gifts will bring on the revival and reformation, and that as nature brings to fruition the seed sown in the ground, so the anointed one will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nation. Ample provisions have been made for all who sincerely, earnestly, and thoughtfully set about the work of the perfecting holiness and the fear of the Yahweh. Strength, grace, and glory have been provided through the Yeshua to be brought by the ministering angels unto the heirs of salvation. None are so low, so corrupt, and vile that they cannot find in the Yeshua who died for them strength, purity, and righteousness. If they will put away their sins, cease their course of iniquity, and turn with the full purpose of the heart unto the living Yahweh, he is waiting to strip them of their garments, stained and polluted by sin, and to put upon them the white, bright robes of the righteousness, and he bids them live and not die. In him they may flourish, for their branches will not wither, nor be fruitless. If they abide in him, they can draw sap and nourishment from him, be imbued with his spirit, walk even as he walked, overcome as he overcame, and be exalted unto his own right hand. Testimony, Volume 2, page 453, by Ellen G. White. Okay, it says, there's a wideness in Yahweh's mercy. This is the end of our sermon with this song. Used to hear the Review and Herald, the King's Herald, back in the 1940s and 50s and 60s. This is one of the main songs they sung on the Voice of Prophecy, and I learned that song from them back then in the 60s. There's a wideness in Yah's mercy like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice which is more than liberty. There is welcome for the sinner and more graces for the good. There is mercy with the Savior, there is healing in his blood. For the love of Yah is broader than the measure of man's mind. And the heart of the Eternal is most wonderfully kind. If our love were but more simple, we should take Him as His word, and our life should be all sunshine and the sweetness of Yahshua. This brings in verse, volume two, one of the timely readings, number 41. And we've got 20 more minutes to go for our hour, and so therefore we're going to continue on with volume one of the timely readings, number 42. And it's Zion's reward and Yahweh's mighty effort. Okay, we're just going to go right on into that. Well, this afternoon, we shall study the 62nd chapter of the Isaiah. Well, the very first things we need to know about the chapter is whether it was written especially for the people of the day or especially for the people of yesterday, and whether this message is to be given to the Seventh-day Adventist Church or to the world. For the finding out, we shall read the 11th verse. Behold, the Yahshua has proclaimed unto the end of the world, say you unto the daughter of the Zion. Now this daughter of Zion, well then will be the, now Zion at the 12th hour, house of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver, daughter of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him. Huh. So Yahshua, he has to come to this earth, and he brings his salvation with him, and his reward is with him. So he directs his own work here in the 12th hour, Yahshua does. He started doing that in the uncommon text in 2002 at the Passover. Brother Johnson prophesied in the year of 2001. He said Yahshua is going to be here at the Passover 2002 in person, because it's the antitype of what took place 2,000 years ago when he came in person. So we believe it, and I still believe it this day. So I said, behold, the Yahshua has proclaimed unto the end of the world, say you unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. See? So Yahshua, when he comes, it's his work to empower his kingdom of David. Because Yahshua sits upon the throne of David. And he comes as the anointed of the Father, and he anoints his antitypical David. And he says, behold, says Yahshua, I have proclaimed unto the end of the world, not unto some other time. For this divine proclamation, therefore, is for those who are living in the time of the end. And the 12th parabolic hour is your last hour on the clock, and that's the time that we're in now. Unto them the chapter is now unsealed. Okay, that's it. And their commission is to take it unto the daughter of Zion. And to the church. You cannot therefore afford to excuse yourself from this call for the service. Isaiah 62:1. For the Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for the Yerushalayim's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as the brightness, and the salvation therefore as a lamp that burneth. Here we are told that the Yeshua will continue thus to speak, not for the sake of the world, but for the sake of the church, so that she may eventually stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, that he will thus continue until the righteousness thereof go forth as the brightness, and the plan of salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua thereof as a lamp that burneth. For this implies that the righteousness of the Yahshua through the blood of the everlasting covenant of his people at the proclamation of this chapter is but dimly, if at all, going forth, and that the plan of the salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant thereof is not now as a lamp that burneth, but as a lamp, as the light of which is gone out. His mighty effort is nevertheless to bring forth a great change for the righteousness through the blood of Yahshua is to shine forth as bright as the sun. For the conclusion, then, is that without this additional message, the church will never reach her goal. And this additional message is the fifth group of laborers. At Seventh-day Adventists and the Davidians, they were the fourth group of laborers. It was called at the ninth hour, 1844, and Matthew 20, verse 5. But this last group of laborers, the fifth group, is who we are. It says, we'll never reach our goal, and anyone's unconcerned attitude and this urgent call for the service is sure to bring his doom. For Yahweh's true people are nevertheless to awaken and embrace the call unto them. As the church says to Yahshua, Isaiah 62:2, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness. Okay, so all these Gentiles and all these nations are going to see this righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahshua shall name. For the righteousness of the Zion shall be so pronounced that the Gentiles shall be attracted by it, and all their kings by her glory. It is for this very reason that the present church name will not then be benefiting her. As you know, there are now hundreds of church names in the world, as many names as there are isms, all of which are named by the mouth of men. Although Yahweh recognizes but one church, or only one church, many of the names even suggest the divine competition. For the instance, do not the names Church of Yahshua and Church of the Yahweh make Yahshua and Yahweh's competitor? Whatever the new name be, it will entirely benefit the church and her righteousness as here projected. Well, you can go to Jeremiah 23:5 and get an idea about the new name. It's called Yahshua or Righteousness. Jeremiah 23:5 and Jeremiah 33:14-16. We are now living in a confused world. Some are of the Paul and some of Paulus and Cephas, Peter, John, and James, some of the Yahweh and some of the Yahshua. For the believers, or they call them Christians, of the Apostolic Church Nazarene Creed of their religion, which was sanctuary restored unto them with the feast day. And Yahshua is the center of it as a high priest offering his blood for their sins on a daily basis, are thus bickering and quarreling among themselves. And one speaking against the faith of another, and at the same time all are trying to convert unto Yahshua the non-believing Christian world. What darkness for the church that the Yahweh is now creating, for he said in Isaiah 62:3, thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahshua, and a royal diadem in the hand of the Father Yahweh. For the church here projected is to be made up only of a righteous spiritual or spirited people. I'd call it a spiritual people. Her new name is doubtless to express this fact, for the wonderful indeed will be the Yeshua's crown of the glory and his royal diadem. For you certainly cannot afford to let this glory get away from you. Act today. Isaiah 62:4. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desert, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Judah. For the Asher delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. Because the Asher is to delight in her, and also because her land is to be married unto her, she is also to be called Hephzibah, and her land Beulah. For the church in the times past has been forsaken a number of times, once in the Egypt, then in Babylon, in Rome, and so on. But she is never again to be forsaken, and her land is never again to be left desolate. Okay, so we got this whole nation of Texas to build up, Isaiah 62:5. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy Yahweh rejoice over thee. For the marriage signifies an everlasting union. Thus, the church has the promise that her homeland shall now forever be hers, and her sons, converts, shall never part from her. So you see, for this house of David, our homeland is right here in Texas. This is where we were brought to set up the everlasting kingdom of heaven, not to the land of Israel. That's for another thing. This is our homeland. Isaiah 62:6-7. So as I just said, we're going to read Isaiah 62:6-7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Yahshua, keep not silent, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Okay. Not that he will sit, but that he has already set watchmen that shall never neglect their duty, night or day. And so you that now make mention of the Yahshua ought not to keep silent, but praise him and speak of his wonderful love and the present truth that comes every day like a flowing fountain unto his people. Now is your opportunity for the promoting of his cause, for the making his cause as your chief business, for your chief interest, for your highest joy. Now is the time to say, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave unto the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, Psalms 137:5, Psalm 137:5-6. Unto this end, pray and work. Give him no rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Let this be your delight as you are his delight. Isaiah 62:8-9. For Yahshua has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the strangers shall not drink thy wine. For thee which thou hast labored, that they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Yeshua, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the course of my holiness. For Yahweh's purpose have been robbed time and again. And the most outrageous and unreasonable robbery that they have suffered has been and still is being done by their own brethren in the faith. How? At every upward step in the truth throughout the church history and down unto this day, those who have ever embraced the new unpopular truth have in every instance been thrown out of the church which they helped build. This has been done only because on the one hand, the majority have ever ruled, and on the other hand, only the minority have ever been susceptible unto the present truth. This is present truth. He finally put that word present in there. For the meat in due season. For the time is here, though, in which all manner of robberies shall cease. Unto those who are being cast out, the encouraging counsel and promise is given. Well, I was the last one cast out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Brother Johnson, my pastor, he was the last prophet to the Adventist Church before she closed down in 2002. And I was the last one cast out of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I wasn't cast out by my former brethren when I joined the Rod, or when I joined V.T. Holler, and Ben Roden and Brother Johnson. I wasn't cast out when I joined them. I was cast out of Brother Johnson when I joined him. I was with him for 33 years, and he cast me out of his church. So I'm the last one ever cast out of the Adventist Church before it closed down. I hadn't realized that until this sermon. Hear the word of the Yahshua, you that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Yahshua be glorified, that he shall appear in your joy, and they shall be ashamed. Isaiah 66:5. That's what Brother Johnson exactly said, too. whenever he kicked me and my wife out of the church, his church. He said, now the church will triumph. Now the church will be glorified, he said. We got rid of the old devil, he said. Isaiah 62:10. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. What is the standard? That is the everlasting covenant of the sanctuary system restored. With all the festivals, with all the feast days and the daily intact, for Yeshua now repeatedly asks everyone within the hearing of his voice to fearlessly go through the Zion's gates and say unto her, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. Why? Because he's come and set up the everlasting kingdom of David in the 12th hour, and Yahshua is the power behind this kingdom, and it has to have the power of the Holy Spirit with an anointed leader from heaven, and Yahshua to come to make this glorious church triumphant. We therefore cannot do otherwise but go through, for it is our Yahweh-given duty for the preparing of the way for the people. We must build a highway, a way of them to come over to the light of Yahweh and thus into his kingdom. Okay, I wrote a song. Clear the king's highway, chain the devil, make him pay, for his light has come on from above. It says, clear the king's highway, chain the devil, make him pay, for a light has come on from above. We must gather out every obstacle that stands in the way and must lift up a standard for the people, as a standard which they can see and follow as it leads ahead. What should the standard be? The very standard which the people are to see and to follow is Yahshua and his present truth of the restoration of the sanctuary system at the feast days, the daily intact, and teaching the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. That's his present truth. Isaiah 62:11. Behold, the Yahshua has proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye unto the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua cometh. Now that's in Hebrews 10:19-20. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. For this verse, as we learned at the beginning of our study, clears two things. First, that this chapter definitely contains a message for the church at the end of the world. Second, that since it proves that this chapter is now for the first time being unsealed and brought unto our attention, we are sent with a message unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and definitely shows that we have come unto the time of the end, the time in which man-made institutions are forever to pass away. For the word behold suggests that we should now take notice and be able to see that our salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10:19-20, cometh, and that while his reward is with him, his work is still before him. What is his reward? What else could it be but life forevermore? So it shall be that the first fruit, as the 144,000, as the servants of the Yahweh who are soon to stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, because he's coming here in person in the 12th hour to harvest them out of the Adventist church in the 12th prayer body hour, shall be the first to be rewarded. As the servants of Yahweh, they shall carry on the work that is before him the work of the gathering of the second, first, those Gentiles and all the Gentile nations from all over the world as set forth by the Isaiah the prophet. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape from the slain of the Yashur, verse 16 of Isaiah 66, of them unto the nations, unto Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, that draw the bow, unto Tubal and Avan, unto the isle of the far, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yeshua out of all nations, upon the horses and in chariots and in litters, and upon the mules and upon the swift beasts, unto my holy mountain, Yerushalayim, said to Yeshua, as the children of the Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of Yeshua, Isaiah 6:19 and 20, for the choice is now yours. Either to line up with the Yeshua's truth for this time, to accept the plan of the salvation, the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yeshua, Hebrews chapter 10, and Hebrews chapter 12, 18 through 24, the blood of sprinkling, and to prepare for the work that is before him, for the gathering of the saints in the 12th parabolic hour, and for the harvesting of the world, and for the resurrection of all the dead, clear back to Adam, has to take place by the Yeshua with his church, 144,000, or to remain aloof and to be spewed out. Let us make the better choice now, lest we soon find ourselves in the outer darkness, there to weep and gnash our teeth. This brings in our study show. Contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on the audio organ. We're going to close now with a song. Isaiah 62:12. And they shall call them the holy people. Okay, let's repeat that once again. Isaiah 62:12. And they shall call them the holy people, as the redeemed of the Yeshua by his blood. And that's in Revelation 5:9-11. And thou shalt be called sought out as a city not forsaken. Okay, so this city is Mount Zion at the 12th hour. Yeshua certainly didn't forsake her because he's ahead of it. If you do all that the Spirit of the Yahweh bids you to do, you shall be of the holy people as the redeemed of the Yeshua, sought out, not forsaken. And now, to summarize, the study opens with the words, Behold, the Yeshua hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, unto the church of today, she is to be the Yeshua's crown of the glory, and his royal diadem, no longer will she be called forsaken, nor will her land be called desolate, that these titles are to be changed respectively unto Hephzibah and Beulah, meaning that the Yahweh will delight in his people and their land, that the Yahweh is to rejoice over his church as a bridegroom rejoice over his bride, that he has now set watchmen upon the walls of the Yerushalayim, who shall never neglect their duty. Okay, that they shall not keep silence, that they shall praise the Yeshua and be zealous for the doing of whatever they can in the furtherance of his everlasting kingdom. Daniel 2:44 and 45 are set up in the days of these kings and the last day. Yeshua has come down from heaven to take his place upon the throne of this kingdom. His work is before him, and he uses his 144,000 and the house of David as his headquarters, that he has sworn by his right hand and by his the arm of his strength that he will no longer give his children's meat unto the enemy, that the strangers will no more rob them of that which they work for, that what they produce will indeed be their own, that his people have again and again been robbed of their spiritual light, that when the light of the Yahweh came unto them, the enemies barred the light away from them at least for a time, that we are now admonished for the hearing of the word of the Yahshua, for which cause the brethren, fellow church members, hate us, so that they cast us out from among them. This they do in the name of the Yahshua, but they shall be ashamed when he appears to our joy and unto their shame, that we are commanded to go through the gates of the Laodicea, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and to prepare their way for the people to cast up the highway, to remove the barriers, to raise the standard for his people, to show unto them that the Yahshua has proclaimed unto the end of the world, to tell the daughter of Zion that her salvation is come, that his reward is with him and his work before him, that those who escape the slaying of the Yahshua will be sent unto all the nations and unto the isles of the sea, unto the people who have not heard of the Savior, that they shall bring all their brethren unto the house of the Yahshua. For you certainly now see that the Zion's reward and Yahweh's mighty effort for the informing you of this truth, you surely will do all, he's talking to the Adventist Church, but Vicky Hall says, you surely will do all that you can to escape Yahweh's vengeance and to join this layman's movement for the gathering of the people. This brings in us to this hour contest. This is the 11th hour call. This is number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close now.